heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Well, in a society that is always reactive, because that's how we do things here in America, we're never proactive. So when something happens, that's when we decide to try to fix it. That's pretty well routine here for our country. Very seldom are we proactive. But when something happens, typically you'll hear all the politicians scurrying along and all the conversation coming from Washington. And of course, you have to wonder, people, why isn't it they didn't look at this thing before? Now, after Parkland, I told you all it would be a matter of hours, days, weeks that we'd be having the next shootings. There's no doubt about it, because we have a crisis in the country. In fact, I told you about the societal woes and the causation of mass shootings. Basically, it's a culture of hate and violence that is out there in the mainstream. And the kids, they're indoctrinated into this stuff. This is what's happening. And we explained it all yesterday and laid it out for y'all so you understand why this is kind of happening in our country. This doesn't fall from the sky, people. There's a whole system to this thing. Happens over years and years and years, decades. This isn't the current president. He didn't create this. It's a bunch of rubbish. It's just fodder for the political operatives who want to score a few points and be what they are. You've been hearing a lot about the red flag laws. We're going to talk about that today. The background checks, of course, is there's that's being discussed as well. And all the different ways of how we can stop this, how we can stop the madness in the country here. We're going to do that conversation right now, friends. And it's called Ask the Expert. So we have a distinguished panel we'll bring on as well. But let me first bring on Lieutenant Joseph Pangaro. Lieutenant Joe is a retired police lieutenant. He's a director of school security. He's a master trainer. He's owner of True Security Design, and he's host of Chasing Justice. He's an avid supporter of the truth of justice. And you'll see his show, Chasing Justice, on the network here. He's a columnist here. And so Political comes out, and they say this. If you put politicians on the truth serum, the following things are true about both parties' gun positions. Non-Republicans, they say this. Republicans will, they say privately that they know they are on the wrong side of contemporary political thinking and reality when it comes to gun policy. Many of them will say off the record or on background that they could get away with supporting banning assault weapons, banning high-capacity magazines, and tightening background checks, all the kinds of things we typically hear. In fact, a Republican out of Illinois, Representative Adam Kinzinger, he came out and called for universal background checks, raising the gun purchasing age to 21 and banning high-capacity magazines. Before I tell you what Politico said about the Democrats, what do you take? What's your take on all that, what's put out there?
Malcolm, first of all, thank you for having me on. This is a very, very important topic, and I'm glad somebody is finally going to talk about it. When it comes to guns, guns are an extremely political topic, I think, for both sides. I don't know if I believe that article right off the bat, because I think there is a mood in the country that people don't understand. Like, the people ask all the time, why do they call them assault weapons? Why do we have to have an assault weapon? Words mean things. People will use specific phrases. They will name things, give things certain titles, so that it creates a reaction in people. In these circumstances, with these shootings, this is a very emotional response people have to this. So calling these assault weapons, you want to ban these things. Can you really do that? I don't know that you actually can. I mean, first of all, how are you going to get the guns from everyone? Are you going to say, okay, we've now made a law that says you have to turn in your weapons? And I think a lot of people would. Even law-abiding gun owners would realize, okay, that's the law, and they would turn them in.
I got news for you. I think a lot of people would not, my friend.
Well, I think some would, because I think some people just would follow the law. But I think there's lots and lots of people that would say, no, this is where they would draw the line. We're not going to do this. So what do you do then? You go door to door and knock on the door and say, hey, we have records that you own these weapons. Turn them over. What if they don't turn them over then? Are we going to crash people's doors to go take their – you're talking about outward rebellion we would have at that point.
Now, Joe, let me jump in here now. If we did what you just said, let's talk about this a moment, please. If we did that, so what would happen is the only people that would have guns at that point, Joe, if we were successful in that exactly, and we went door to door and we did that, the only people that would have guns would be the criminals. Because you see, criminals don't follow laws under any conditions, whether you ask for them to or you don't. So the only one that would have weapons would be criminals and evil people. Not a good sign, is it?
No, it's not. And that's the reality, because that's who's doing bad things now. There are 350 million Americans. And I tried to talk about this in the article I wrote for the platform recently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have 20 to 30 of these kind of shootings a year. They are, each one is horrific and painful and destructive to the families that are victims, to the country, to the community. For 30 incidents, we're going to disarm the entire country, and people use their weapons about 500,000 times a year to protect themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we would disarm those people because of these 30 really horrific incidents. And this is one of the reasons we can't talk about this. It's so emotional. You can't even say what I just said. People are going to lose their minds.
Yeah. But, you know, what you say is actually very intelligent, because why can't the left understand what you just said, that we're going to arm all the evil people, number one, right? That's first off. Why would we do that? It's just like gun-free zones. They're the stupidest thing we ever came up with. It's an invitation for lunatics to come in and blow the place up. Doesn't make any sense.
Of course it is. No, it doesn't. And I think, you know, there's another side of this, which, you know, I'm not a conspiracy guy, as you know, but we have, people have agendas, political agendas. The left has had an agenda for as long as I can remember to disarm the American people.
That's right.
So anything that's going to feed into that argument, they're going to jump on. So now they're using this emotional issue of these horrific, terrible incidents, these shootings, to say, see, that's why we got to get rid of all guns in America. All guns in America are not the problem. There are people that have weak personalities, that have mental issues, that attack other people. That's the problem.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, mental health is totally it, Joe. I mean, listen, out of that 300, take a guess for me. I mean, let's just take an educated guess. Out of the 350 million, so how many of them you think are law-abiding, as far as guns go, I'm saying. I'm not talking about stealing a Milky Way from the store here. I'm talking about people that abuse that. How many you think? What are you talking? Out of the 350, what are we talking? 349 something, 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 something?
Yeah, I think it's probably 99% of all legal gun owners do. The reason that legal gun owners, they followed the law. They did the right thing.
That's right. That's right.
You know, so I think that's the majority.
Yeah, but what, the argument we just put forth is so big, though. So what we're going to do is penalize the entire program, the 349 plus for those few who are lunatics who have mental problems. And then, I mean, that's argument there, then the argument of the evil people. You know, Joe, just yesterday I had a listener send a message in one of our comments at the network that says this: the reason gun control is a bad idea, the Second Amendment is not about hunting animals or personal protection from other citizens. It's about protection from a government that would turn on its own people. And they ask the question, why is this idea lost on everyone? Now, that's a question that they felt is not being talked about out there. And you know, Joe, you have to think a moment about how brilliant the framers were. I mean, obviously, whether or not they realized all the mental problems and the people we would have who have, you know, some real conditions here with gun ownership. I mean, some of that stuff we need to talk about. I get that. But at the same time, you know, I mean, really, this whole thought process of the Second Amendment was to put in to protect ourselves against these fools, because the framers knew, Joe, of where we came from. And they knew government's control on people and the danger of that. And quite frankly, I don't trust Washington for 1 minute of a day, buddy.
Malcolm, I don't either. And the reality Now, this is where you get that above view of things. The default position of humanity, whether we like it or not, is to live under tyranny. The strong man will control. The strongest person in the room will make the rules. America is exceptional because we changed that. That's what the forefathers saw. That's what they changed. And it's been under attack since the minute it was formed. I mean, who was it? Ben Franklin, when he left the Constitutional Convention and somebody said, hey, what do we have? And he says, a republic if you can keep it, which means right then and there, you got to keep fighting for your freedom because it's not the natural position of humanity. Mm-hmm. These people that have other agendas, which we find hard to believe because most of us don't live in a world like that where we have these agendas. They want to disarm us, mm-hmm. and getting rid of the guns makes us more pliable. Then only the criminals have guns. And then, you know what, once they take over, they can go crash a door and take anybody's guns, whatever they want to do.
Well, and you and I both, who are not, neither of us are conspiracy kind of fellas, Joe, you or Malcolm, neither of us are. We just don't think in those terms, Joe, right? I mean, come on. We live in the real world. We're common sense. We're common sense constitutional conservatives. I mean, we're patriots. We know what this is about. But yet the reason a lot of people on the right are distrusting of the left is because, and that's where a lot of these conspiracies come from, because it starts with one thing. You give them an inch or you give them a millimeter, and then they take a mile and a half or 2 miles, as much as they can take.
Of course.
And it's every single time, you know. Yeah.
They have the long view of things. And your question about why this Second Amendment, why all of our rights mm-hmm. get lost in the sauce, we don't teach our kids this anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, education has been taken over to the point that, who was it the other day was saying that there is a paragraph or two in a history book about Abraham Lincoln, but there's an entire chapter to Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying one way or the other, but Abraham Lincoln was pivotal in the development and the continuation and the growth of freedom in America.
That's right.
But we don't teach these things anymore. We don't teach the kids where they come from, their history, the value of what America is. We teach them now all the sins of America, and they must be guilty for it. They must undo it. They must change it. That's all about changing who we are.
Yeah,
that's not about continuing our system. It's about changing our system.
Well, our history has become a foreign language. It's a foreign language, Joe, and they don't teach it as right. I mean, that's where I was kidding with somebody just earlier on here. Listen, I want to get back to a couple of thoughts here, and I want to talk about the president. So we, before we bring our panel and talk a little more. So in that political article, by the way, the House Democrats enthusiastically said, yeah, we'll come back into session and we'll pass more gun legislation. But, you know, they're worrying about the politics of doing so. And, of course, all the candidates running for the presidency, they're all very anxious to pass new legislation on this. Now, there's talk right now, Joe. I want to talk about President Trump here a moment with you. President Trump, the word is that he's exploring executive action, regulatory power and executive action to curb gun violence after these last couple of deadly shootings, clearly, you know. Mm-hmm. And a lot of his aides and people around him are pushing him to do exactly this. And the part of the reason, Joe, is his belief is that Congress is incapable of coalescing around the legislation, proper legislation, because of the election cycle. Everything's political and election driven right now, including immigration and everything else. Of course, you know, it's not about what the country needs; it's about just getting their fat asses into office, basically. You know, and so the White House they come out and they said that Trump and our Attorney General William Barr. They're resolved to take action after the shootings in El Paso and Dayton. And don't forget the one in Gilroy, California, as well. Joe, that was seems like a month ago. It just happened, for God's sakes, you know. Things move so quickly. The news cycle moves so fast, it's hard to imagine. So with this, the president right now, he's talking about red flag laws. I want you to talk about red flag laws a moment. He said many of these shootings involved individuals who showed signs of violent behavior that are either being ignored or not followed up. And that's where these red flag laws come in. Explain to folks what your thoughts are about these red flag laws, and could they help, Joe?
Okay. This is something that I've been working on, Malcolm, for a long time, because right now we deal with violence when it happens or afterwards. We deal with these active shooters. We teach everyone more and more we're doing a better job of it, to teach people how to react once the bullets start flying. What should we do when that shooter shows up and starts firing away? And that's important. We need to learn to survive in those instances. We don't spend a lot of time on understanding, can we identify people who are potentially violent before they attack us, and can we intervene to prevent that? So a lot of these laws are starting to recognize that there is a possibility. There's a thing called leakage. Okay, so leakage is what is in the term of an active shooter investigation. When a potentially violent person is preparing to attack, they start to leak that message out, whether it's on social media, which is so prevalent amongst most people today. They start to tell other people, they write things, they draw things, they say lots of things that people know about that are scary, but we don't take any action because our laws and our system is set up as a reactionary system. You call the police and say, listen, this kid's saying something really weird about shooting up the school. They investigate, and the kid says, no, I just made it up. I really didn't, and he didn't do anything yet. There's not a lot they can do with him. In the meantime, he has a full plan to attack his school. Now, red flag laws mean if we're going to find this kind of information, how do we take action to check that person out? Our system is not set up for that. That raises a whole can of worms about, do you take someone into custody? Do you force them to go for mental health to find out what the danger is? This is where this has to go, although I am loath to give the government any kind of power to do that, but I think we need to consider it. When people make certain kinds of statements, when they say certain kind of things, we can't just ask them, well, do you mean to hurt anybody? If they say no, walk away. We have to look deeper into who the person is, what's going on with them, because this leakage comes out and people don't know what to do with the information. In many, many, many shootings at workplaces, in public places, and in schools, lots of people know these people are having a problem and speaking violently.
Well, Joe, perfect scenario is being heavily promoted right now. Out of Texas, there was a grandmother. Did you see that story? The grandmother stopped her grandson, William Patrick Williams, here from he had all the goods. He was out there. He was ready to do. He was there. He was ready to in a hotel and ready to take out a lot of people. And the grandmother wanted to get him help, and she stopped him. But that's what you're talking about.
Yep.
That's what they say. Say something. See something. Say something. Right? Is that what that is?
That's exactly what I'm saying. These people don't wake up on a Tuesday morning and say, you know what? I think I'll go to school and kill 15 of my classmates, mm-hmm. or kill the people I work with. There are precursors. There are signs. There are symptoms that we can see. Not in every single case, but in the majority of them, there are things we can identify. Now we need to have a process in place to take some action.
So could red flag laws work or not, Joe? Yes or no?
Yes, I think they absolutely could work. I think the problem we're going to have with them is ironing out the constitutional issues that come with
it. That's it.
Because you don't want to just be able to grab people off the street. Because like I say all the time, if you got a better angels government in charge, mm-hmm. nothing to worry about.
That's right.
If you got somebody who doesn't like Malcolm,
They
think Malcolm said something, they snatch Malcolm off the street.
That's right. We got a government full of bandits and thieves. So that would give me, just look at what's going on with the FBI and the CIA and all the agencies you and I've been talking about over the past years, Joe. I mean, come on, you know, how do you trust
these are our trusted. These are our trusted entities that we trust wholeheartedly to make sure we maintain our lifestyle.
Yeah.
And they went wrong. They went rogue. So that can happen at any time.
That's right. There's still
safeguards for that.
Yeah, I don't trust them at all. Real briefly, before we now turn the corner here, what about background checks? Are we doing what we need to do there, or should we have more thorough background checks, Joe?
Well, I got to say, the idea of somebody just walking into a store and buying an AR-15, that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. But at the same time, people have a right to possess these weapons. Mm-hmm. So we have to find some middle ground. I think we need to know who they are before they buy it. What if somebody was on there espousing some horrible, the minute I get my gun, I'm going to kill 50 people, and we knew about that? Mm-hmm. I think we're kind of liable there. But again, how do we do it in a way that is as least restrictive as possible, but helps us? We have to have a background check. There's no doubt about it. We can't just hand these things out. They're dangerous.
Joe, the biggest problem we had, I discussed on yesterday's show, is really up front, and I mentioned it up front, it's our societal woes and the culture of hate and violence, I think, that are coming from the movies, the television shows, the video games, the education system, abuse, bullying. All of these factors are corrupting young minds. And quite frankly, Joe, these kids are corrupted before they're 10. They're corrupt at a very, very early age. You know that.
Absolutely. Malcolm, I think you said it earlier. Mm-hmm. It goes to the bigger underpinnings of our country. We've taken God out of everything.
That's it.
We've taken decency out of everything. We've determined that whatever you feel like doing is okay, regardless of what it is, regardless of how damaging it is to you personally or to the society around you. But we see so many of these kids, they have nothing that means anything to them. Mm-hmm. They don't have that bigger picture of, hey, I am part of something larger than me. I'm just me. Whatever's important to me, that's what's important. Right. And when you don't have that underpinning, if you don't have that commitment to your community, commitment to a God or to anything bigger than yourself, then suddenly there's nothing that matters. Life means nothing.
Here's the underlying message of all this, people, is that government is not the answer to your problems. I know a lot of you are waiting for the fiery godmother of government to come out and fix all of this. They are not the answer to this, people. The answer to this problem is at the dinner table. It's at the school. It's at church. It's basic decency. That's where the answer to all of this is. I swear to you, I give you my word. That's where the answer to all of this lies. It is not with government. They cannot control the behaviors of people and what we're doing. This comes back to civil discourse in a civil society. I mean, the left and right have become far too polarized, and the extremists have hijacked the headlines. Back to what Lieutenant Joe was talking about, the minority of people who do the harm. Well, it's the minority of people who grab the headlines as well. And these are the lunatics who are running the asylum. They're running the whole program. And they're putting fear into people. It is one wild ride, I'll tell you. Well, listen, let's do this. I want to do a segment now, Ask the Expert. I want to bring in a distinguished panel of terrific people and really have a great conversation and really be able to ask Lieutenant Joe some other questions as we talk about these red flag laws and background checks and gun control, assault weapons, and so on and so forth, and where all of this government business lies and where our personal freedoms are as well, people. So the Voice of a Nation, again, every day you catch us 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the airwaves on America Out Loud Talk Radio. If you miss that, the next morning on Morning Drive, 8 a.m., you can hear the following program. You can hear this program. You miss it at 6, the following morning at 8, and then you'll have to wait a couple of weeks before it gets to podcasts. It's at least a couple of weeks after that, and then you'll find them there. We'll be back with this distinguished panel in our Ask the Expert segment next.
Listen to Malcolm, the Voice of a Nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
As we say, let the silent voices be heard. Shadow banning, editing, censorship, blocking, and adherence to political correctness are seen as serious threats to our God-given right to free speech. Suppressing free speech, the very cornerstone of our society, is not in the best interest of our listeners, readers, and those who provide our content. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Joined back here with Lieutenant Joe Pangaro is here again. He, as I told you before, Lieutenant Joe is the owner of Trug Security Design. And this is his life. This is his work. He's dedicated his life to justice. It's all about justice. He's a retired police lieutenant, a director of school security. But that's his life. And he's a voice here in America Out Loud and certainly a patriot here. We love to have him on here with us. Now, We're going to do a segment now, friends, for the first time called Ask the Expert. And that's why I've invited Joe to stand with us here. And we've got a distinguished panel we're going to bring up with four unique voices as we do this here. But let me just throw out a quick question first to you, Joe, and then we'll bring it right around the panel here. So, and straightforward question. Here it is. As a professional yourself, who has seen many of crime scenes in your life, I know, and who understand the human psyche behind a lot of this stuff, are you surprised, truly and honestly, Joe, are you surprised at the level of mass shootings in the United States?
My answer is clearly no. I have been witnessing the increase of these events. I think it's clear we can certainly put the connection, the 24/7 news cycle and human connection. I could text somebody right now, Malcolm, who's on the other side of the planet and instantaneously get a response. So there is no more separation amongst us. I think these shootings are, I don't want to say they're copycats, but what it is people are seeing these are responses now to when I am angry, when I am upset, when I have something to say, here's how I can go do it. So I'm not surprised at the increase.
Yeah. No, a lot of it's media driven, Joe. Come on now. It's definitely media driven. And the worst part about it, Joe, is you know, it's a lot of these media outlets. They show the faces of the criminals and the names of the criminals, which really rip me up when they do that. You know, my rule is never to do that on America Out Loud. You know that. You know, I don't show
That's
criminals.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't show thugs and criminals. I don't celebrate them, Joe. Not interested. Listen, let's bring on our first one here, Sid Bowditch. And let me just tell you real briefly, Sid, his book, A Rush to Judgment. It's on the America Out Loud bookstore and in Amazon. A Journey with Trump, God, and Love. He was working on the Trump Ground campaign and helped get President Trump elected, actually, out of the New Hampshire area. Sid, what's your question for Lieutenant Joe? Where would you like to start, please?
Well, thanks for having me on, Malcolm. I'd like to preface my question, Joe, with, you know, I wrote a column on America Out Loud at the end of 2018 called Gun Control or Mental Health. We clearly have, in my opinion, the biggest problem we have is a mental health problem in this country. At the tune of 1 in 5 adults in the U.S., 43.8 million people experience some form of mental illness in any given year. That being said, our government has taken away all the mental institutions that were in place back in the 50s, 60s, 70s. When I grew up in Massachusetts, there was a Danvers mental hospital, which had thousands of people in it. They're gone. And now it's left the responsibility of handling our mental illness issue in our society is put on our hospitals. What's your thought on that?
Sid, I'm going to say that you are 100% correct. And the reason I say that is we know that people have these problems. We all know somebody who has some kind of problem. But in America, we don't talk about mental health issues because you know what? There's such a stigma to it. In my profession in law enforcement, we see a lot of suicides. That's a big thing going on now. If an officer comes forward and says, hey, listen, I'm having a problem, they're going to get the help they need. But they're also going to have their gun and badge removed, taken off the thing, and their livelihood is gone. In our society, parents don't want to come forward and say, I think my kid has a problem. I think my child has a mental problem, because that's a stigma that creates all kinds of difficulties. The mental health system is not what it needs to be. It's packaged. I've seen people go through it. And if you're lucky, you get somebody good that can help you. If you don't, you're just another number in all these people. So mental health is probably the biggest barrier to us controlling this phenomenon that's going on. We how do we get these people who need it into the treatment? That was one of Malcolm's questions earlier.
That's right.
You got a guy saying some horrible things, and he doesn't want to go. Mm-hmm. Well, all he did was say things. Doesn't he have free speech? Mm-hmm. Well, when does that free speech become an assault on all of us and a danger? And now we need to have that person checked out before they walk around and hurt us.
Yeah, yeah. Joe, you would love the show yesterday. I actually said we need to now call it free speech, but put an asterisk near the speech because it's not really free speech, Joe. You understand? You know? And so, yeah, I want an asterisk now. I want to change the Constitution and get that asterisk there. You see what I mean? You know?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean,
depends on whose speech it is.
Depends on speech, and you know, Joe, the other thing is to Sid's question and point is that, you know, when our Congress, and Sid, you're saying Congress did that, the politicians did that when they changed the mental institutions, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, the reason they did that is because they wanted one big mental institution in D.C. It's called Congress. It's, so you see, that's where it is right there. That's where most of the mental cases are right there, buddy. Right. So anyways, let's bring let's bring on James Sinclair, please. He's an entrepreneur, a U.S. Marine Corps, a veteran, patriot. James, what's your question for Lieutenant Joe, please?
Well, I happen to agree with the mental health. I think we've cut it for 50 years. And we're seeing the results of that. It's clear to me that we have a serious problem. And it's permeated the homeless. So we're feeling the effects of what those cuts have done. My question, Lieutenant Joe, is you brought up earlier about being reactive. Would the concealed weapons permits, would they be more of a proactive approach? We know that the gun-free zones don't work. So is this an answer?
First of all, thank you very much for your service. You and the men and women of the military have kept me and my family free, and we certainly appreciate that. To your question, would more good, decent people with weaponry save us? I think I'm gonna go 60-40 in yes, because, you know, if you had any one of those people in the situation of any one of these shooter situations that could have responded, you know, I'm retired law enforcement, so I still get to carry my weapon. You know, I've been trained, I'm prepared. If something happens, at least I could maybe do something. The concern I have about, like people talked a lot about arming the teachers. That sounds like not a bad idea, maybe, because they're in the school with the shooter. But you're going to get people, now you're going to have 20 people firing guns instead of one. So that would be my only concern with that. Now, we haven't seen that. We know there's places where a lot of people are armed, and we don't see these wild shootouts. So I'm going to say to your question, I think if you're qualified, you're properly trained, and you can carry your weapon, I'm thinking probably could help in many of these situations.
And Joe, aren't they already training some of the teachers now? Isn't this already happening in quite a few schools?
Well, they are, and we have to see how that's going to go. I know in law enforcement, we train very, very diligently in our firearms, right? And you still have mistakes, you still have accidents, you still have somebody firing at someone and they hit someone in a crowd. It still happens. When you have lots of people in a confined area, like the hallway of a school with a shooter, now you have six teachers throwing rounds. You know, the reality of a gunfight, if you haven't been in it or around it, it is traumatic. You have an adrenaline dump. You have all kinds of things. If you're not prepared for that, you know, handguns are not the most accurate thing in the world. They're for 6 to 10 feet saving yourself, not shooting down a hallway with a bunch of students. It's not like TV where you hit the guy jumping across the roof, you know, with a handgun and you take him out.
That's a great point I hadn't thought of. You know, that's a great point, buddy, because I've been supportive of arming the teachers, but with a big caveat, Joe, with proper training. They have to be properly trained. But to your point, yeah, you can't have all that. That would be the Wild West in the school zone, you know, right? That doesn't work.
Yeah, so if you have some military people or people like in the south, exactly, southern part of our country, there's more of a gun culture. You know, in the Northeast, there's not. So in the South, I think more people are familiar. They're comfortable with weapons. They've used them more. So those people, if they're properly trained, probably better than, you know, a bunch of teachers in New York somewhere who are scared to death of guns, but now they're allowed to carry one.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Let me bring on now, please, Richard T. And Richard is a former school teacher. He's a professor at three universities. And get a load of this, people. You thought we all need to be corrected. He actually teaches U.S. history, which is mind-blowing that that's being taught today. So he is doing it. He's here to tell us that. He teaches humanities and government. And joy to have Richard here as well. Richard, please, fire away, sir.
Malcolm, thank you for being on the show today. I've got a lot of concerns today. I see a lot of young people that are isolating themselves with, I kind of call it social media obsession.
That's right.
And I'm seeing so much today of, you know, a lot of students will just kind of say, you know, leave me alone, let me get in my box and I'll do my thing. And they don't want one-on-one conversation. My question, Joe, is are you seeing a lot of isolation out there on a lot of these shooters? And also, I'd like to get your thoughts on the fatherless generation that we have today in a lot of the homes and everything. If you could just comment, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you very much, Richard. You know, the isolation component, there is no profile of a shooter. You cannot sit and go, here's these 10 things, pick out the profile. But there are common traits. And I think we're starting to see more and more and more. This social isolation is one of those key factors that we have to look for. So there are different ways. How do we identify that? I found a company out there. I'm not going to mention their name right now, but I found a company that has a social media app that they give to the school, and all the kids get it. There are pre-programmed things in there where the kids can say good things about each other, not just the superstar sports kids or the kids who are, you know, the cheerleaders, but it's for everybody. Hey, good job on that test. Hey, you were really nice to your classmate. And what the purpose of it is that the kids start to use it because it's social media. That's what they do. But in the background, the algorithm is pointing out, hey, Richard got 10 compliments and he gave 15, but Joe got no compliments and Joe gave no compliments. Now we need to look at Joe. Why is Joe not interacting with his fellow students? Why are students not interacting with Joe? So it's a way to pinpoint maybe some of that isolation, because that is definitely a key factor. As far as fatherlessness, I am so blessed and lucky that I'm here with my kids. You know, my dad passed away very early in life. He was only 37 years old, God bless him. And I had to raise myself and my brother. And thank God I had church. I had a very good mother. I had a lot of close family and friends. Got me through that. A lot of my son's friends don't have their dads around. And it is so painful for these young men, because we tell them all the time, do the right thing, but we don't tell them what is the right thing and how do you do it? Mm. You know, so I think there's a lot of these young men who are struggling with the new world tells them that being too manly is not good. The traditional kind of man is a brute, is a horrible person. Be something different. This is being told to them constantly. They don't have the underlying values of a physical example of a dad who's doing the right thing. And like I was saying earlier, we're disconnected from our church. We're disconnected from the bigger picture of right and wrong. We don't do that anymore. I think it's extremely damaging to society.
Yeah, no, it's well said, buddy. And that was the focus of yesterday's program we did. We talked about, again, that's the societal shift that's been happening, which Richard points out very well there, and appreciate the feedback here. So what we'll do now, friends, is the other panelists we're going to do after a quick pause here. And this is one you've heard before, Arnetta, our producer here. And she's pretty ripping to go here about the red flag laws. So y'all better brace yourself and put an extra seatbelt on, because she's got some real questions for Lieutenant Joe here as far as the red flag laws, and she's calling some people out, I think, on those. So we'll have that discussion in just a moment here. Let me also just quickly take a moment with you all, take just a few seconds, and just ask you straight out the question here. Are you taking Healthy Cell yet? And if you're not, I want to remind you to do that. In the pause here, you're going to hear, you'll hear my voice when you'll hear my words as far as Healthy Cell. They are a sponsor on today's program, and they've been a sponsor with our network for the past couple of years. It's an unbelievable product. I've taken it for the past a couple of years now, and it's absolutely dramatically improved my own life. AmericaOutloud.com. Right there, you'll see a logo, Healthy Cell, and the ad itself you can click. But here's the thing. You can get 20% off. Only our listeners get 20% off the purchase of Healthy Cell. And so instead of the multivitamins, this is a liquid gel. It's a new product they've just come out with a liquid gel that is very effective, because the liquid gel gets into your body and your stream much faster than a pill does. And you'll find that most effective in feeling good. But this has got everything you possibly need in it, Healthy Cell does. So if you're not on it yet, I want to encourage you to get on it. And in the message you'll hear in a moment, there's a free sample you can get from the company. They'll send it to you. You'll get the details in just a moment here. Stay right there, friends. More Voice of a Nation in just a moment.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
The question I always get asked is, where do I get the energy from? Well, keeping up with Malcolm Out Loud is no easy task, friends, even for Malcolm. Well, you may know that I've personally been taking Healthy Cell for some time now. Well, the great news is Healthy Cell has a new type of natural supplement called the Nutrition Gel. So no more hard-to-swallow pills. The good taste in gel can be mixed into smoothies, yogurt, or water. These gels provide maximum absorption of essential nutrients, and it's healthy for our gut, not abrasive like pills can be. You know, it's time for all of us to go pill-free, and you can try it with a free 2-day supply. Just cover $2.95 shipping, and the company, Healthy Cell, will cover the cost of the product. Go to healthycell.com/outloud, or simply click the Healthy Cell logo at the top of AmericaOutloud.com. Okay, as we join you back here on this, I think a really great conversation here, friends, talking about, again, I mean, it's more than just gun control. It's really a societal shift that we're dealing with here as we've taken a journey. We've covered a lot here already in talking about the red flag laws, background checks, our cultural society, fatherless families, the political operatives, what they're up to, and really what we have to do as a nation, as a people, to secure our safety and our security. This is one of the biggest challenges and problems of our lifetime, I assure you. And it's one we need to face full throttle here. So joining us back here is Lieutenant Joseph Pengero. And appreciate having Lieutenant Joe with us today here. A catchy show, Chasing Justice, every afternoon at 3 p.m. on the network. He is well-spoken. He speaks from his heart and his soul, but also his intellect. And that's an unusual combination, friends, when you can do that well. So let's get back to our panel here and our voices here. We have, and I want to bring on now Arnetta Notkin. Arnetta spent 30 years working on Wall Street. She's a producer and commentator here at America Out Loud. And I know, Arnetta, you said to me before, I don't know where you want to go, but I know you said, I got a lot to say about the red flag laws. And I said, okay, you'll get the mic and here's your chance, please.
Thank you, Malcolm. Lieutenant Joe, my question is a two-parter, and to even say what I'm about to say breaks my heart, but the radical progressive globalist mandate is to win at all costs, to win meaning control. They want to rule the world. They want to rule our country first. To win, they have to silence our voices. They have to disarm us. That's in their mandate. So my question is, are innocent civilians being killed because of a political agenda? Are these shootings and the timing of these mass shootings a coincidence to something that is progressive far left, whatever's out there in the news media that's harmful, whether it's not about Trump, but just that would reflect poorly on them? The timing and the coincidence of these shootings just don't make sense. And then I'll get back to the red flag. Is who determines who's mentally, the red flag laws, who determines who's mentally ill? If I'm take antidepressants because I've had a trauma in my life, then can a family member who's upset with me turn me in? Or can I not buy a gun now?
God, I'd be in trouble, Arnetta.
Yeah, so would I. So would I.
Okay, Arnetta, thank you. It's, you know, the answer to this question requires us to really open it up a little bit. I think whether there's an immediate somebody set this off, I don't know that there is that. What I think there is, though, it is a complete symptom of the long-term effects of these people who, God bless them, on the left, who are trying to undo everything that holds our society together. And when you undo those boundaries, the boundaries of what we all agreed is normal way to interact with each other, I think you're going to get more and more and more of this because the society is coming unhinged. We see these shooters. This is an answer now. This is in young people, when you talk to them, and I interview these kids when I do threat assessments, you know, what do you think about these shooters? They used to say, well, you know, it's really scary. I hope it never happens here. Now these kids say, and this is all across the country, well, it's just a matter of time until it happens here. I think that's a great indicator to the level that the society for them, where they are living, where they're existing, is really coming apart. And therefore, I don't think there's anything to hold one of these kids back who has access to a weapon, and they usually get them from family or friends because then the parents or the friends don't properly secure their weapons. And then these kids get them, and they act out. So in that way, just like I'm not surprised that it's increasing, I think the unleashing of this, which whether or not it helps the people on the left, you know, to break down our society because then it gives them more opportunity to demand more power over us, I see that connection, but I think it's really just a result of the way they govern, the policies that are in place now. You take all these things and you shake loose our entire cohesive system, and this is what you're going to get. You're going to get chaos and danger. When we see police officers can be attacked, when we see a president of the United States calling the police stupid, when we see everything that happens has some kind of a motive other than what it really was, and no one pushes back, nobody says, that's not right, this is incorrect, then whatever someone feels like doing, they're just going to do. That is the unleashing of the left on all the rest of us. That is the unfortunate part where, you know, a lot of these people, I know them, they're family and friends. They got great ideas in their head and they love everyone. Their policies and their laws and their concepts about things cause these kind of problems. Doesn't mean that some of their ideas are not worthy. It just means going about them the way they are is what's dangerous. So I hope that answers that for you.
Somewhat. I question their motivations, and I'm surrounded by progressives here in California, and yet they don't, those that are reasonable and are rational, they're not stepping in and making a statement to stop the president being called a white supremacist or his supporters right. being called white supremacist. I mean, we are Trump supporters, and yet we are called every bad thing in the world. Now, I know it's rhetoric. I know they're doing it for a reason. But who is stepping in to stop that? And why aren't they?
Let's look at that. Where are Republicans? When all of these Democratic candidates came out yesterday and lined up saying that this was Trump's fault for these shootings, why was there not a mass meeting of our leadership in the Republican Party to slap that down? On exactly. the news, through a big conference, because we're all alone out here. If you yeah. say the wrong thing that is not politically correct, they will take your job. Right. They will come after you and destroy your family. So therefore, I think lots of people watch every word they say. And you know what? I'm not going to get involved in that argument, no matter how strong I feel about it.
Right.
Because I don't want to lose my job. I don't want them coming to my house. Why can't right. you put a Trump sticker on your car? Because they'll break your windows and slash your tires.
That's but right. Lieutenant Joe, have we gone too far? Is this stoppable? I mean, if we are afraid to put a Trump sticker on a car, if we are afraid not to speak up, forget the politicians, because we the people are on our own. Forget the GOP. They're not going to support us. What do we the people in this country do? Has it gone too far? Can we do something?
Whether it's a hot civil war or a cold civil war, I think the cold civil war has already started. I think that's very clear. I've written about that. I've talked about it on Chasing Justice. Mm-hmm. You're right. Who is going to stand up for these things? You know, we can stand up for each other, But do we go in mass to Washington and a million of us show up and say enough? No, we're busy working. We have things to do. We don't have time for that. But I think we're going to have time for that, because if no one else is going to do it. No one is standing up for us. And as soon as, you know, if Mr. Trump wins another 4 years, when he's gone, who's next? Are we going to get another Trump, or are we going to get another swamp creature that takes us right back to where we were?
Well, and you know, if he gets another 4 years, you know, the left is going to go berserk. They're going to lose their brains and their heads in the process. It's going to get uglier, I think. The second 4 years is going to be even uglier than the first 4 years, I believe. Hey, listen, let's bring James Sinclair back on here and get another question from James. James, go ahead, please.
Lieutenant Joe, it seems like often when there's a crime committed, there's conflicting witness statements, and the guy was tall, the guy was short, and whatnot. But, you know, it is a little bit concerning that some of the witnesses at these mass shootings, for instance, are sharing something entirely different. Not short, not tall, but, hey, there was four of them. There was more than one shooter. They were dressed in a uniform and whatnot. That's a little concerning to me. What's your feelings about that?
Yep. Well, first of all, the reality is these are criminal acts. Whether it's considered terrorism, which it is, a terrorist act, but it is a criminal act. So the investigation, and if the perpetrator lives through it, you know, they are entitled to a trial. So you have all the evidence that has to be preserved. Eyewitness testimony can be very helpful, but we all know that if anybody's been involved with criminal investigations, you will get, he was tall, he was short, he was fat, he was thin. You know, he was strong, he was weak. You get complete opposite things because people in that traumatic moment, they see different things. Their mind remembers things differently. Sometimes you get very good descriptions, sometimes very poor descriptions. When we see there's multiple shooters, that's because bullets have a tendency to echo. People see things from different angles. You might see somebody shooting and then somebody running in another direction. There was a second guy with him because he ran over there, but you know, I can't really describe him, but I know there was a second guy. So you get those kind of traumatic responses.
And law enforcement has to sort through all that, obviously, Joe. I mean, you've got to sort through all those. Yeah, absolutely.
And that takes a little bit of time. That's the investigation, definitely. You know, why we don't hear things. Because you know what? Just because there was one guy doing the shooting does not mean there were not co-conspirators who didn't go along on the day of the attack. And you have to go slow with that investigation to make sure there's nobody else out there who's going to be a secondary attacker.
Let me bring in Sid Bowditch, please, for another question as well. Sid.
Well, the question I have upon a comment is, you know, I remember when my son was in his early teens and he first had this horrid video game called Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah.
And today, the video games have desensitized our youth to the value of humanity. What's your thought on that, Joe? Because I think that's part of the problem. And we need to, and I know President Trump just recently signed something into play that begins to address that, but it's a huge problem. These kids are growing up with these violent video games that I think contribute to this.
So Joe, how does that impact the kids, please?
Okay, well, there's a guy out there on the teaching circuit, very knowledgeable, good man, Lieutenant Dave Grossman. If anybody's ever heard Lieutenant Dave, he's excellent. Military guy, he's gone through a lot of shooting incidents. And what he says, and I've tried to see my own experience how this matches with that. He said, not every kid who plays these violent games is a shooter, but almost every shooter played these violent games. So I think it only goes to reason that if, you know, I was playing, you know, Mrs. Pac-Man or Pong because it was very innocuous when they first came out. If you're going to play games where you're randomly, indiscriminately shooting people down and killing them, it has to desensitize you as a human being. I know our military, in some instances, uses video to help train people to do different things. Mm-hmm. Video is very, very powerful. It's an immersive activity without actually being in the middle of that kind of activity. So I do think that it does have a tendency to desensitize these kids to quickly pick out targets and knock them down. And if you've got a kid who's prone to do this and he watches these videos, away they go. They're actually little soldiers, little warriors, out there.
Yeah, well, the word is desensitization. That is exactly it. And I spoke about this heavy on yesterday's show. You got to hear that one, people, because we covered this in it's in great detail. And by the way, Del Wilmer, our counterterrorism analyst, former CIA, he's got a article right now on the front of AmericaOutloud.com, an open letter about gun violence to the Socialist Democrats. He talks about the video that you just talked about right there, Sid, and all of that. Yeah. Let me get one last quick question in, please, from Richard T.
Well, I'd like to kind of get back to what Arnetta was talking about earlier. I think one of the big reasons why the Democrats are doing what they do now is they know there's no consequences. They can do whatever they want and get away with it. I'm very concerned that we don't have any arrests, prosecutions, grand juries, or anything like that. And Joe, I'd like to address that to you and just see your see what your thoughts are on that.
You're talking about accountability, Richard.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Let's show it, Joe.
Yep. Well, I think it's obvious to all of us. There's no doubt about it. We have people that stand up and say they hope our president is shot or they hope he's killed. There was a day you could never say a thing like that. Number one, it was publicly indecent. And number two, it would start an investigation. But now the power of the media, the power of the media is so strong that they're all on, and they're mostly all on one side. So you only get one opinion. There is no accountability. There is no accountability whatsoever. You say something, and if they agree with you, well, listen, she said she just wanted to shoot the president. Is there any value to that? What do you think about that? Are you kidding? This is what people are talking about. That makes it normal. And accountability? Well, who's going to go after them? Why are you going after these people? We see what's happening, what you mentioned before, Malcolm, with this Mueller investigation. We see what a fraud and a sham this is. And what I've talked about on my show is that I was concerned that, you know, we may get to some answers of what happened there. But I'm really afraid there's going to be no what we need. We need justice. We need people to be indicted. And right off the bat, Comey, yeah, he committed some crimes, but we're not going to prosecute him. Now, maybe that's going to change down the road, but what does that tell all of us? It's fruitless to look for these kind of for this kind of justice, which kind of opens it up to people who want to do bad things. There's no consequences, so they keep doing them. You throw buckets of water at cops, and you get to walk away and laugh. The next time, I'm going to throw something else. That's how it works. That's the human condition.
They haven't set good examples, Joe, the political class, you know. For any of us, the public, I mean, they're just not setting good examples. I mean, it's lying, it's stealing, it's cheating. It's all the things we try to teach our kids not to do, Joe. I mean, and they're doing it all. I mean, and it's done right in the public square, as I always say. It's become very ugly. The vitriol is beyond what we should hope for or ask. I mean, it's beyond all of that. So in any event...
And I want to say, Arnetta asked the great question, can we put this genie back in the bottle? Where do we go from here? Mm-hmm. What's next after this? Is it going to get better? Do we stand up and make something happen? I don't know. We're all witnessing this right in front of our eyes, and only time's going to tell.
That's exactly it. Well said. Lieutenant Joe Pengero, and what a great group here. Let us know what you think about the panel of experts, the process of this. If you like the format I'm talking about here, Liberty at AmericaOutloud.com is where you can email the network. Let us know if you like the format. First time we've done this. I like it. My opinion matters far less than yours, though, people, you know. Big thank you here to Sid Bowditch, Richard T., James Sinclair, and always Arnetta Notkin. Lieutenant Joe, again, his show, Chasing Justice, is 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the afternoons there. Or now it's EDT, of course. The conversations are big. They're big. The decisions are big. These are, again, complicated issues, people. They're not easily, solved. But again, personal responsibility is what I want to end the message with here. It really comes back to all of us in our lives to have that personal responsibility. Please do not wait for government to fix your life or to improve it for that matter, because you'll be waiting for a very long time, people. It's a matter of you taking matters into your own hands. And that's the lasting message in all of this. But all these things, we talk about background checks, red flag laws, all of the various pieces of the political operatives, these are all things that are going to have to come out in the wash as they decide what's going to be the best for the country as a whole. In the meantime, we still have to have a Second Amendment now, don't we? We're not willing to give that up, are we? So can the left and right come together? That is the ultimate question. Bottom line, it's time to hold the politicians accountable. It's time to get involved and get loud.